Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. In this episode, Cancer Network's Roman Fabricator spoke with Dr. Nathan Goodyear of Williams Cancer Institute about the role that exercise and lifestyle intervention can play in the treatment of patients with cancer. He discussed how structured exercise programs may supplement the efficacy of standard therapeutic approaches like surgery, chemotherapy, and immunotherapy.
Can you elaborate upon this idea that declining fitness may be an early warning sign of cancer progression?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times when you look at cancer progression, it's something that we see radiologically, right? And so it's something you see on imaging where the tumors are bigger or there's more tumors. What if there were signals that we could actually see before that basically collapse on a massive scale? What if we could actually get insight to early dysfunction? And in fact, exercise is a window into that basically ongoing collapse, particularly when you look at the immune system, because we know that, you know, as person's activity declines, okay, the immune system declines, immune exhaustion increases. And basically, just those two steps alone, immunosenescence increases, basically aging accelerates, which is immunosenescence. So what you have here is that as activity declines, you're getting a counter upregulation of the processes that promote accelerated aging, immune dysfunction, immune senescence, immune exhaustion, immune evasion, and all of that is going to lead to rapid progression that we ultimately see in the radiologic images. But here you could actually see it immunologically. So say, for example, you start to see interleukin 6 elevate and it stays chronic. C-reactive protein elevates and stays chronic. So these are subtle markers. Those two markers right there are markers that are available via any regular lab test, yet they're almost never evaluated. But if you look at it as relates to activity, you say, well, an oncologist almost never asks about activity. I mean, I can't, you know, think of an oncologist that would say, well, what's your diet like? Because they tell them that diet plays no role. What's exercise like? Because they'll say, well, exercise doesn't really play a role. But what if science actually is showing that no, exercise is actually equal to many of conventional cancer care therapies that have been celebrated. And there's been research that actually shows in human studies that it can actually prolong longevity, actually reduce recurrence, reduce metastasis, actually increase efficacy of chemotherapy, immunotherapy, surgery. That's the reality of it. So what we have is the capacity to monitor that ecosystem, because that's really what research is showing us right now, is that within the tumor microenvironment, it's an ecosystem, but it's an ecosystem that is not confined there. It's an ecosystem that is transported throughout the body. And we have the capacity not only to monitor it, but we have the capacity to intervene with something simple as exercise. But it's not just immunologic. It's also things like metabolic. It's also things like endocrinologic, you know, talking about the circadian rhythm, talking about the sleep-wake cycles. All of these are huge adjuvants to the immune system, which I believe that the immune system is the body's major defense that we need to engage. The standards of therapy over the last 75 years or so have been not really to involve that immune system, but I think if we engage it, it's going to make everything better.
I know that generally aligns with what you've said regarding other integrative care strategies as well, sort of engaging the immune system. I found it intriguing how you related that specifically, because I felt in a lot of my other conversations, they would often discuss generally the correlatives between exercise and OS outcomes or response outcomes, but you brought the radiological scope into it. And I think that that will supplement that very nicely. I think you might have actually touched upon this, but maybe if you want to expand, how might exercise optimize treatment efficacy for patients with cancer?
Yeah, I think there's basically research that shows that it does, okay? But then there's actually research that shows how it does, right? It's not just one thing to show the what, but the how. Now it becomes something very strong and solid. And I think that's also the way that we grow the number of practitioners that should be that will be incorporating exercise into their strategy. Let me say this first, because when you look at exercise, if a patient was diagnosed with cancer, they go to their doctor and their doctor just said, hey, kill more cancer cells. They go, okay, great. How? Just go do it. It's not going to be successful. So if a patient goes to a doctor and the doctor says, hey, just exercise more, be more active. And the patient goes, how? Well, just go do it. Not going to be successful. Well, there's really a couple Sentinel articles that show the what. One was actually presented at ASCO last year, May 2025 in Chicago, called the Challenge Study. Really interesting study where they actually looked at stage 3, stage 2 colorectal cancer. But the profound impact there was the reduction in recurrence in new cancers and actually the lower risk of death, longevity. Is that not what cancer is about? Increasing survival and reducing recurrence and metastasis through exercise. Now, what they did is they compared one arm with basically a 3-year structured exercise program, 2 days a week. Okay. We're not talking about Ironman, and then they just said, okay, here's some healthy, in the second arm, they said, here's some healthy information, just live a healthy lifestyle and via exercise. And that had a profound, profound impact. And in fact, again, when you look at those statistics, they're comparable to some of the quote unquote, you know, celebrated conventional cancer treatments. Now, that doesn't mean we replace them with. It means that when cancer is present, it's not following this reductionist approach where it's going A to B to C to D. We have to start bringing this kind of stacking therapy approach together. So if we can add something like exercise with chemotherapy, with immunotherapy preceding surgery, guess what? The results will be better. And then another one called Optimist that was from NHS in UK, they were actually following these patients. I think it was a 12 or 16 week exercise program, and it was a much smaller study related to 22, whereas the challenge was like almost 900 studies. So they kind of did it in two segments. It was 8 weeks each time. So they did two segments, one with chemotherapy, which improved results, and one preceding surgery. And then what they did, didn't improve results with the chemotherapy, but preceding the surgery. What they then did is they surgically resected the tumors, and then they looked at the tumors. And here's where it gets into the how. They found CD8 T cell infiltration. They found reduction in immunosuppressing cells. So now you have to step back and go, oh my goodness, this study, without saying it, is showing that exercise is reprogramming the tumor immune microenvironment. Now, they didn't say this, and it needs, of course, more studies, but you could actually frame it as exercise is turning cold tumors hot. It is enabling the infiltration, the recruitment of particular immune cells within the tumor microenvironment, reprogramming it, allowing the immune system to be engaged. And now you're going to take a predominantly what tends to be immune desert, but predominantly immune excluded immune environment, and actually make them where the immune system can now be harnessed. That is next level. There's even research that shows that exercise can actually increase the genesis and maturation of tertiary lymphoid structures within the tumor microenvironment. Now you're going, okay, that's where all the spatial omics research is going just crazy nuts in science, which is, wow, it's not about the numbers, but it's about the spatial orientation of these immune cells within proximity to each other, these forward training camps of tertiary lymphoid structures. If we can increase the genesis, the maturation of them within the parenchyma of the tumor with CD8 cells, CD4 cells, dendritic cells, we can couple this in a how, the what, with those therapies and improve outcomes, improve longevity, which is what it's all about.
I thought you illustrated that very well. I definitely think that this idea that it's not just numbers, but also the spatial omics, something that I'm not too familiar with, but then also generally speaking with the suppression of immuno suppressive cells. I think that alone is sort of the money line there that made this worth it. So I've spoken with a number of KOLs, and a lot of them sort of suggest that it's like a magic pill, so to speak, without it actually being a magic pill, because it confers the efficacy and survival correlatives, right? But there isn't much in the way of adverse events or toxicities. With that being said, how can integrative care specialists best tailor exercise to ensure patients are best positioned to experience the most benefit?
Yeah, I think that's where the precise nature of oncology is, right? The right treatment for the right patient, the right combination, at the right place, at the right time. And that's really what it is. So if you have a patient come into you, they're dealing with sarcopenia, cachexia, advanced stage 4 cancer, you know, chemotherapy-induced peripheral neuropathy, you're not going to say, well, let's get you doing some weights about 3-4 times a week. Let's go out and let's jog. No, you have to just say, okay, you know what? Let's get you moving. First of all, proper assessment. Okay, what is your activity like? Well, I'm in a wheelchair all day, or I'm in bed. All right. Well, let's start building a strategy of saying, well, let's have you, if you're capable, okay, yes, I am, walk to the kitchen. Let's have you do a series of, you know, particular events during the day that get you mobile. Because now what we have is the ability to remove somebody from a sedentary life moment, day, to actually, now you're moving, okay? Now you're moving. There is going to be natural remedies from that. Myokines, cytokines, modulation of the immune system. By the way, that's acute, not chronic. I think that's one of the areas where we get mixed up, because exercise will acutely increase interleukin-6. Not chronically. That's the difference. And actually, it's human studies. If you block interleukin-6 and epinephrine with exercise, you actually block the ability of natural killer cells to infiltrate and actually lead to tumor necrosis. So it's the acute versus chronic that's very different as it relates to immune signaling. So there, in that patient instance, you go, okay, let's just get you mobile. Now let's build a strategy from that. If somebody comes in, they go, I've never exercised. They're 350 pounds. Again, kind of same concept. Let's just get you walking. Then once you get that pattern set in place, now you say, hey, let's get you doing some, you know, 1-pound dumbbells as you're walking one day a week. Build it, because also acute and chronic are different. Resistance and cardio are different as it relates to the immune system. So let's say an athlete comes in. We had a patient. I'm a rower. I was a professional rower, competed in the Olympics. It's not going to take much to tell them, all right, let's get you doing cardio 3 days a week. Let's get you doing resistance training twice a week. Actually, the counter is the problem here. I got to tone them back. I say, look, you're not training for the Olympics. We're training for your immune system. Very different. And so we have to look at, and stage plays a big role in this too. You know, stage 4, stage 3, I'm going to approach it differently. Stage 1, stage 2, going to approach it differently. So I think we have to look at each person and see, where are they? What are they capable of doing? And let's be honest, there are many of us that are athletes, and there are many that are not. I love my wife dearly. Her middle name, nickname, is Grace, not because of her athletic prowess. My children's athletic prowess is because of me, I think. But they get all the better benefits from her. But so some people just have that innate athletic ability. And so in that aspect, you say, okay, let's build in free weight resistance training. Let's do this, because I know you can do this. But don't just say, do it. Say, here's what I want you to do. Okay, what does that mean? I'm gonna go out there and be Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, put 300 pounds on the bench press? No. I want you, if you're a male, you haven't lifted in a while, I want you to take 10-pound dumbbells. I want it to be so embarrassingly low weight that you're embarrassed to be in the gym. And I want you to do high rep, low weight. I want you to do 3 sets. I want you to do 45 seconds of rest in between. Here's what proper technique looks like. And then we're going to do that. And then we're going to build on that with biceps and triceps and lats. very simple weights, easy posture, easy positioning. Then we're going to say, now let's focus on the lower body muscle groups, glutes, hamstrings, gastroc, et cetera. And so now what you do is you start to instruct, just as we would say, okay, here's what we're going to do from a surgical perspective to remove the tumor. Here's what we're going to do from an immunological perspective. You know, where they use graphics, they have pictures. We need to do the same thing with exercise, because research is now showing that what and the how, that exercise is a not replaceable therapy, but it is a biologically interventional therapy that on its own stands, but in conjunction with other therapies, becomes an amazing stacking or sequential use of therapies that will help patients not just overcome their cancer, have better outcomes, live longer. That's a concept I can dive into.
Again, you made a lot of very solid points there, a lot of food for thought there, especially with regard to potentially even toning it back for someone who was previously athletic or might even currently be athletic. What are some common misconceptions about exercise that clinicians or patients might have? And subsequently, what resources or information could help combat or correct them?
Yeah, I think probably one of the greatest misconceptions is that exercise doesn't work. And I think that those two studies alone, and there's others, okay, the Optimist and the Challenge, they show that they stand on their own two feet. They stand on their own feet, but they also stand in support for. And I think that's what happens is a lot of oncology, whatever the approach you come to it with, right? And that's why I say, look, following integrative oncology, integrative medicine, it's just simply, where's the science going? Because if people are in conventional, if people are in natural, holistic, they tend to lock themselves into a certain thought. And integrative says, let's look at the whole. And that's actually what the word means, the whole, and in a way. And so here it's saying, okay, you know what we need to do? We need to understand that it does have science to support it. There is research that shows how to implement it. Now let's actually put it into practice, because if doctors say it doesn't work, then the patient's not going to think it works. So I think doctors have to be in the science to know that it's there, that there's evidence to support it's working. And then basically say, don't just live a more active lifestyle. Because again, the Challenge study showed that you actually have to be deliberate in the design. You can't just say, here's some exercises, good luck to you, I hope it works. That would be like, hey, here's a bunch of chemotherapies, good luck, I hope it works for you. Everybody would say that's preposterous, and rightly so. But how is that any different with what we're now seeing with exercise? I think it's also important to understand that cardio exercise and resistance training are different. Their impacts are different. Their immunologic impacts are different. Then the patient's capacity to do those two treatments are different. Again, we may be able to just start with cardio with a patient, but it may be more just walking down to the post office, down to the mailbox to get your mail. All right, I want you to do that 3 times a day. Yeah, but I already picked up the mail. I want you to do it twice a day. So the fact that cardio and resistance have different impacts immunologically, okay, that's next level. Now, acute versus chronic, because they, well, we don't want inflammation to be an issue because inflammation is driving cancer. Yes, but acute versus chronic is different. And actually, exercise can actually improve immunotherapy. It can actually improve the activation of immune cells and actually increase the reduction of tumor necrosis. That was a mouse model, by the way, not a human study, but a mouse model. So I think it's actually diving into exercise is actually a prescribable therapy. And I think from a doctor's perspective, we need to start thinking about that. When we prescribe medications, we need to prescribe exercise just as we would prescribe everything else. Okay, here's how I want you to do it. Here's when I want you to do it. You know, all those strategies that go into a prescription that if you don't fill in, guess what? A pharmacy will reject because they go, hey, this is confusing. The patient doesn't know what to do. We got to take that same just deliberate approach to prescribing exercise to appropriately apply it, to appropriately administer it, to achieve proper success. And so looking at acute versus chronic, it's like, wow, I could actually modulate the immune system, the inflammatory response, simply through exercise if I properly time it. Okay, now they're scheduled for cytoreductive surgery. Okay, how do I do surgery before? Okay, how do I do exercise before? Okay, that's going to be different. That's the Optimist study. We're going to do exercise leading up to it. We're going to have necrosis, more immune infiltration into the tumor. That's great. All right, what about in recovery? Exercise changes. Why? Well, you just had major surgery. You're not going to go right back to the same thing. So now we need to change the program of exercise there, because what our structure is and our intent is very different. Now let's help you recover. So that's the whole process of, I think we need to approach it like we approach all therapies that we prescribe. But the problem is we don't. And when we don't, I don't know that it's intended, but we delegitimize it. The same thing with nutrition. Well, nutrition doesn't really play a role. It's like, wow, have you ever seen the studies on fiber and immunotherapy? Okay. And I think it's just, there's an uncomfortable feeling in space there with doctors stepping into those spaces, because they're like, I'm not really prescribing a prescription. I'm not cutting. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. It's like, well then prescribe it the same way. Prescribe it the same way, because the science says it's going to help those other therapies. And so if the science says that, the what and the how, and we've got human studies that are, you know, randomized, double blinded, that must get in there. So then also what must happen, and you're starting to see this, is these major, you know, medical institutions, you know, ASCO and others, that they're stepping into that space and they're starting to say, hey, here's something, but I think we need to do more. I think we need to do more than just say, hey, here's something. We need to say, hey, here's what you need to do. And I think there, what we need to do is we need to encourage doctors to, man, think openly, think freely, because with that, that's going to be the ability to meet that exercise program, that nutritional program, that chemotherapy program, that immunotherapy program, that surgery program for the patient that's sitting right in front of you. I know it's an overused term, but N of one. Okay. A patient that is wheelchair bound, and then I have a standardized exercise program that I submit to all of them, will not work. Likewise, a patient that's wheelchair bound, you know, their quality of life scores, ECOG 4, you know, they're just, their immune system, their neutrophils are, you know, less than 500. You come in with full dose chemo, not going to go well. We've got to look at the person in front of us, precision medicine. And I think we have to look at exercise through the same prism as we do other therapies. And I think when we do that, we will see the outcomes that the studies show, because they're very structured. And that's a problem. Doctors have not translated that to clinical practice. We need to embody it ourselves. We need to take control of it ourselves, meaning we need to be the incentivizer of it, the directors of it, and then do it in a structured way, just like what we do in the rest of our practice. I think that's when we're going to see the outcomes that are seen in these studies.
All right. Thank you for those insights, especially providing some structure to these regimens and also intent. Obviously, the big contrast was pre versus post-op. I thought that those were very keen insights. Again, just for the sake of time, I just want to open up the floor to you. Obviously, we covered a lot today. Is there anything else that you would like to highlight that we might not have had the opportunity to discuss?
When we look at the process of cancer and what it's doing, of course, the accelerated aging process in part is why cancer's there, but cancer accelerates aging as well. And so that in turn accelerates the process of the immunologic aging, the immunosenescence, senescent-associated secretory phenotypes, chronic inflammation. So you get in this feed-forward cycle. So then we come in with an accelerated aging process, and we say, what our intent here is to get into remission and to help patients live a long life. How do we break that? Well, the challenge over the last 75 years is we come in with surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. And these are therapies that have efficacy. There's no question about that. But they then themselves also promote senescence and accelerated aging. But what if we're able to bring in these therapies that actually can work to break those cycles, like exercise, like nutrition, yes, they may not be quote unquote as sexy as cutting somebody open and removing an organ. I get that. But at the same time, if it improves the outcome, if it helps the patient heal better, if it empowers their immune system in very intended direct ways that are reproducible in the research, but then it actually helps to block that accelerated aging, re-engage the immune system, countering the immunosenescence that is accelerating that process that is called inflammaging. But where aging and cancer are really simultaneous objectives, where we can not only help people work towards that goal of remission, 3 years, 5 years, that's great. How about the rest of their life? Because now you put the body in a position to actually not just go into remission, but actually to heal. So instead of farming with a pH disease, we're actually now pivoting into farming health and wellness, but exercise, nutrition, these other things, again, not seen as sexy, not seen as standard therapies in the conventional space. They now help the conventional therapies work better. So they're not just lifestyle interventions for prevention. They're interventional biological therapies that enable the body to perform better. The immune system, metabolically, endocrinologically, microbiomically, the gut microbiome. Now we have the chance to pivot, not from, okay, doc, I'm in remission. Now what? Well, now we're going to continue more of the same, because those therapies that we've mixed and matched together, yes, the chemotherapy goes away. Yes, the selective estrogen receptor modulators go away. The radiation goes away. But now we're going to take those other therapies that we were using as adjuncts. We're going to continue those. And those are going to continue the process of healing, wellness, hopefully so that the patient in front of us that's 28, 32, 38, doesn't just live 5 years, but they live 25, 50 years. That's the success that I think that these kind of new ideas, new thinking built on the science, that's a big thing, built on the science, I think that's going to enable us to do, transform the ecosystem from one within the body that is leading to ecological collapse to one that leads to ecological healing and wellness. And it's interesting that that word just means wellness, means whole. It means whole. So let's just keep the body whole. And so the therapeutic approach, guess what? Equally has to be whole. Exercise, nutrition, all the other conventional standards. Bring it together, make the treatment whole, the strategy whole. That is going to change the ecological system within the body that will change not just a 3 to 5 year strategy, but actually to a lifetime strategy. That's what the patients want. That's what the patients want.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.